Welcome to Victory Family Church Podcast. Thanks for joining us. For sermon notes and videos relating to this message, please visit media@victory.com.
Well, welcome. We're so glad you're here tonight. Thank you so much for braving the weather, since it's like 4 degrees outside and all the other things that go with that. And thank you so much for that. Now, the kids, of course, the kids are having an indoor snowball fight tonight, so I'm sure they're having a blast. So some of you, you may not have wanted to be here tonight, but your kids wouldn't let you not come, right? So they made you get out in this weather. And then, of course, over in the teenagers, they have Chad's over there, and who's the chaplain with the Steelers, and some other things going on there. So we're so glad that you came out to be with us. I want to encourage you, if you're a guest, well, there's a connection card in the seat pocket in front of you. And it may be to the left or right of you, depends upon the chair that you're in. But I encourage you to take the time before the end of the service, at the end of the service, to fill that connection card out. And what you do is at the end of the service, go out to the information event centers right through the doors there. And they'll hand you a small booklet. It's just information about the church. But the back of that booklet has a coupon for the cafe in it. And that coupon's good for you and everyone that's with you tonight. It's just our way of thanking you for being here. Again, we're glad you came out tonight. Again, special on such a cold night. Thank you so much for coming out to be a part of our service tonight. Let's give our guests a warm welcome. Again, thank you so much for coming. Well, we're going to continue along the next chapter. And, of course, this coming weekend, Joe McGee will be here. Cannot emphasize enough that you need to be here for Joe McGee. You will thoroughly enjoy his ministry. He's been in the ministry for years and years and years. I first met Joe McGee years and years and years ago when he was a Christian school administrator, which he did for countless years. And processes of events, God launched him out into ministry, ministering about families and children and raising children and other things like this. And Joe's got about 75 kids, so he's an expert, okay? And so it's just, it's been an awesome thing. And again, I've known Joe since the 80s, okay? So, he's a tremendous speaker. A lot of revelation, a lot of insight on family and kids and things like this. And it just comes out of him. I mean, the same way that that wisdom rolls out of him, it tends to roll out of him in a very funny, entertaining ways. Okay, so you will thoroughly enjoy his ministry. And that's this weekend. It's a great weekend to invite people, to be honest with you, because they will thoroughly enjoy hearing Joe McGee. So I encourage you, if you know people that have kids and other families that maybe you've been talking to them a little bit, they've been a little reluctant to come, it's a great weekend to invite people and to get them to come because they will really, really, really enjoy his ministry. Well, how many of you know it's 2015? Kind of crazy. I was thinking about it a little bit. The year 2000 was 15 years ago. Remember Y2K? We were all going to be back in the Stone Ages and nothing was going to work and everything was going to fall apart. Computers, cars, all this other kind of stuff. How many of you know we're still here? That was 15 years ago. That's crazy if you think about it, how quickly time goes by. And of course, this whole series is called The Next Chapter. And of course, Joe will be talking about family and other things this weekend. And if you missed Doug Jones this past weekend, he talked about the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, and his work and ministry in our life. I encourage you to listen to that. Tonight, we're going to talk about focus, our focus. And we're going to really just talk about one thing, to be honest with you. Talking about focus, we're going to focus on one thing, all right? It's going to be one thing that if you will do this one thing, it will change your life over the course of 2015. In fact, it'll change your life in a very short period of time because it's a wonderful principle from the Word of God that many of us really fail, some of us fail to develop this in our lives the way that we should. And it's very, very simple. It really is a simple thing. I'm kind of a simple-minded person from the standpoint of I like things simple. I have found out the more I've gone on in my relationship with God, I've found that we as people make things difficult. God's actually pretty simple. The Word of God's actually pretty simple. It's actually simple to understand. It's simple for us to comprehend. It's actually simple for us to walk with God. We as men, we tend to make it complicated and hard and all this other kind of stuff. But so this one thing we're going to talk about comes from Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. And then we're going to look at another scripture from Psalm. And let me read this to you. It's a familiar passage of scripture to many of you, I know, but Joshua 1:8, it says, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success." That's an awesome passage of scripture. I don't have time to go through the whole context of that scripture, but Joshua has just taken over, and a short time ago, just took over from Moses. Now, how many of you know that would be a pretty intimidating thing, that you just took over from Moses? And whereas Moses did not lead the children of Israel across the Jordan into what we call the Promised Land, your job is now to do that. That's Joshua. So Joshua just took over for Moses. Man, Moses had his own movie, still has movies to this day. How many movies you seen about Joshua? So you think about it, you're taking over for this guy, and here you are having to step into these things. And so this whole first chapter is actually written to Joshua, and God's encouraging him, tells him multiple times just in the first chapter alone to be strong and to be courageous, because he's asking him to do some pretty crazy things as he walks this out. But anyway, in this passage of scripture, it introduces us to this principle. In fact, the word meditate there, "but you shall meditate on," it's talking about the book of the law, the word of God. For us today, we would say the word of God. Back then, all he would have had would have been the law that God gave Moses. It would have been the Ten Commandments and the law that God had given Moses up to that point, which wasn't a whole lot. But that's what he would have been told, to keep this book of the law, to keep my word, God's word, and to meditate on it day and night. That's actually the first time in the Bible, in the Hebrew language, that that word meditate is used. So that particular Hebrew word about meditate, this is the first time it's used in the Bible. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight. We're going to talk about meditating the scripture. And it's a simple thing, but I'm telling you, if you will develop a habit of meditating in the word of God, and spending time in God's word. And this is what we're going to help you see, because a lot of us confuse what this is really about. What we tend to think meditation is, it means that I read the Bible. In other words, I have a daily time where I read or reread the scripture. That's not meditation. Meditation is not memorizing scripture. That's not meditation. Okay, is everybody hear me? We tend to think meditation, it's got to be me rereading. I read a chapter today. Which is awesome. I'm glad you read a chapter today, but that's not meditation. Meditation is a focus on the Word of God. In fact, if you were to look up a definition for this and just see how that Hebrew word is used, what it would be talking about is it means to murmur or to kind of, in fact, actually one of the words that's connected with it has to do with growling. It's a low murmur, repeating. It's where you're literally talking very, just like you're repeating something to yourself. Man, I really wish my wife wouldn't do that. I just don't know why she does that. What are you doing? You just murmured. I just did it right in front of everybody. We all know what that means, don't we? We've all done that. Meditation is as you take the Word of God and you begin to murmur it. You begin to focus on it and you'll repeat that. Psalm 19, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer." So now that's quoting it. Meditating it would be going through that scripture. "Father, thank you. The words of my heart, the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, they're going to be acceptable today. The words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart." And I take my time and I'll go through that. And you can do that all day long, where I can take a section of that verse. So it's not quoting the verse. Okay, it's not trying to memorize it, even those things are all awesome. And it's not even necessarily having a time where I'm confessing the word over, even though that can be a part of it. But it's much more where I begin to just meditate and mull that over. The standard preacher way to relay it is about a cow chewing his cud. You heard that illustration before? A cow will chew and chew and chew, and then, you know, they've got like 27 stomachs, and they swallow, and they spit it back up again, and they chew some more. You've heard that before? Some of you, yes. Some of you are looking at me like, "You're the stupidest person I ever saw in my life." Cows do chew their cud, right? They just chew it and swallow, spit it up, chew. Meditation is going over and over that and just mulling that over in my heart. back in the day, in the context of this word, it would have had to do with how people in that time would have been musing about things, would have been rolling things over in their mind, and they'd have been talking very, very quietly to themselves, mulling things over. So meditation is, and again, what I wanted you to do is I want you to look at that scripture in Joshua 1:8 again. It says, he says, don't let this word depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night. Be careful to do all that's written, and then you will make your way prosperous, and you will have good success. You'll make your way prosperous. We're going to talk about that in a minute, and have success. Psalm 1, verses 1 through 3, another passage of scripture, and these are really just the only two that we're going to look at specific to this tonight. Psalm 1, 1 through 3, let me read this to you. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season. Its leaf does not wither, and all that he does, he prospers. In all that he does, he prospers. Now we're starting a new year. How many of you know that last little sentence there? In all that he does, he prospers. Woo, that sounds pretty good, doesn't it? For a few of you, that sounds good. The rest of you, y'all just want to just stink up this year, right? You've already given up. What is the seventh? You made it seven stinking days. What happened? Look, I know it's cold outside, but don't quit. How many of you know it's a good thing to have prosperous and be successful, right? Oh, I feel so much better now. Thank you so much. All right. It's a good thing. All right, to be prosperous. So we're kicking off a year. Now look at the promise and look at the things that's attached to meditating the Word of God. God tells Joshua, Joshua 1:8, he tells him, look, you do this, you keep this book of the law in your mouth, you meditate on it day and night, you're gonna be prosperous and successful. The exact same phrases are used over in Psalms, written by somebody else years later, exact same phrases are used. You meditate on this word and you'll make your way prosperous. All that you'll set your hands to will be prosperous. That word prosperous means to break out, to push forward, to go over, to advance. It means literally to break out, to go over, to push forward. How many of you would like to break out of something in 2015? How many of you like to push forward? How many of you like to advance in life in 2015? You know, that's literally what God told Joshua and what the writer of Psalms 1, which would have been David, that's literally what we're being told by the Word of God. Did you know that? That if I'll meditate in the Word of God, I will advance. I will break out. You know, you can break out of habits that have kept you bound for years and years and years simply by meditating on the Word of God. You know why? Because there's power inherent within the Word of God. And it always produces fruit. We'll talk more about that later, but it always produces fruit. Always, always, always. And meditation is a simple thing. And what happens, and especially for us guys, okay, it's a lot easier for women, you know, because we know women are women. That's a deep revelation tonight, isn't it? You glad you came out for that one? Did y'all hear what Pastor Steve said? He said, women are women. A lot more sensitive, a lot more, they're a whole lot more in touch with their feelings and stuff than most men will ever, ever be. Amen? So it tends to be a lot easier for women along these regards. So some of us as men, sometimes it's a little bit harder because we hear things and phrases like meditate in the Word and we think, oh, come on. And we kind of just don't picture that as being very manly. Well, just so you know, Joshua, he was a pretty manly fella. He'd cut your stinking head off. He was pretty manly, as was David, who wrote Psalm 1. Pretty manly, okay? And David wrote a whole lot of other things, okay, about his relationship with God. And so it's important you understand, we're not talking about you having to become feminine to do this. We're talking about you're gonna incorporate this into how this fits you. And even as a man, you can mull over the scripture. And you can do that while you're working outside. You can do that while you're driving your car. You can do that while you're doing things. How many of you know guys like to do things? Most men like to do things. We tend to be much more in motion. Men usually do not call each other and say, "Hey, Matt Gaetz, would you like to come over and have some tea?" Matt's going to go, "What in the world's the matter with you?" Because he would automatically think, "You're harassing me about something. What are you harassing me about?" Most men don't do that. But yet women will call each other and say, "Would you like to have tea?" And they get excited about going to have tea with each other. Is that true or false? Men don't do that. I would call Matt Gaetz and say, "Matt, let's go shoot something." He would go, "Yeah." We will go do something. We will go ride our bikes together, or we will go do other things together. But so for women, it's a whole lot easier to do that. Men, we process it differently. So I want to encourage you with this. Believe it or not, you can be riding your bike. You can be doing other things. You can be working. You can be doing all kinds of stuff and mull the scripture over. It's not just a girl thing. It's a guy thing. It is actually manly to be spiritual. You can be spiritual while you do that. Every single day of your life. In fact, it tells you, don't let this depart from you. Do this day and night. How many know you can't read the Bible 24 hours a day? But I can mull scripture over continuously. And the Bible promises me, if I do that, I will break out. I will push forward. I will have success in my life. All right, and I'm going to go on here, and I'm going to give you a couple of scriptures. I literally just took these from, in fact, I can even show you, even though you're not going to be able to see it, because it's on my tablet here. How's this? I'm sure all of you can read this very clearly. This is in Evernote. All I did is cut and paste. So the slides you're going to see, all I did is cut and paste out of Evernote. I have a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And I can touch on one of those things, and it'll open up, and it opened up to Tuesday. I touched Tuesday because I can't read it without my glasses on. So, but I got scriptures in there, right here. I'll open up in the morning and stuff, and it's pretty rare that I miss a day. It's pretty rare. But I've got those, and I've just simply cut and paste those from the Word of God. And I'll go through these. Now, I will read through these. But at the same time, I'll also sometimes just pull out a part of one of these. So the couple of scriptures I've got that we're going to look at tonight, I literally just pulled from here. And I want to just show you how easy it is to meditate on the Word of God. It's very easy to meditate on the Word of God. Do you know that? So we're in Psalm. Okay, now my tablet's frozen and I'm going to be stuck. I have no idea why Carrie Job and Majestic just popped up on my tablet here. All right. Time out. All right, there we go. Psalms 92, we're back. Psalm 92, let me read this to you. Because I want to show you how easy it is, and I want to show you, and actually, these scriptures, these would actually be good ones for you to meditate on. Be good ones for you to read on a consistent basis, which you'll see why in just a minute. But they also have parts of them that you can latch on to and you can go over. Psalm 92, 12 through 15. Righteous people flourish like palm trees and grow tall like the cedars in Lebanon. They are planted in the Lord's house. They blossom in our God's courtyards. Even when they are old, they still bear fruit. They are always healthy and fresh. They make it known that the Lord is decent or fair. He is my rock. He is never unfair. And that's a God's Word translation. Now that's Psalm 92, 12 through 15. I encourage you to write that down, mark in your Bible, whatever you have to. You can pull out something in the seat pocket there and scribble that on an envelope if you need to remember it, because it's a great passage of Scripture. Now I'll read through that Scripture. I like the God's Word translation just simply by how it reads. Now I'll do this almost like as a confession. So if I was doing this, I'd say that the righteous people, that's me. Did you know in Christ Jesus, you are the righteousness of God in Christ? So if I go back into the Old Testament and I read things out of Psalms or Proverbs or other places where it talks about the righteous, that's me. That's you. So I am the righteous people. It says righteous people, that's me. I flourish like palm trees and grow tall like the cedars in Lebanon. That's talking about you flourishing as a person. I am planted in the Lord's house. You know, in Christ Jesus, the Bible tells us, 1 Corinthians talks about us being planted in God's house. We are planted in the body of Christ. Talks about how Jesus literally, like he picks you up by the top of your head and he places you in the body as he sees fit, plugs you into the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians 12:18. They blossom. I blossom in God's courtyards. Now, verse 14, God's Word translation says, even when they are old. You know how I say that? Although I am older. I haven't switched to the old part yet. I'll say, even though I'm older, what does it say? I still bear fruit. Is it still up there? No, it's gone. Okay. Can you put 14 and 15 back up there? Even when they are old, they will still bear fruit. I would go through that and say, even though I'm older, I still bear fruit. Every day I bear fruit. Every day I bear fruit in my life. Amen? Amen. I am fruitful as a person. You know why? Because I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That's why. I am always healthy and fresh. That's a good promise. It sure beats me, and I am worthless, stove up, and can't get out of bed. Stove up is a Southern expression. I'm sorry, but it means you're really, really sore, beat up, like somebody just beat you with a stick and left you in the bed. That doesn't relate here either. Okay. They're always healthy and fresh. How many of you know it's a good thing to be healthy and fresh? So you may want to meditate on this simply the rest of the day. You can go there, praise God, I'm healthy and fresh, healthy and fresh. What does that mean to be healthy and fresh? And what you'll find is as you meditate, you mull that over in your heart, you know what the Spirit of God will do? The Spirit of God will bring other things to your remembrance. The Spirit of God, you'll find the Holy Spirit directing you. You'll be amazed at the other scriptures, the other principles. You may not even be able to find them in the Bible, and that's okay. Do you know, you may not be able to quote this exactly. And again, generally speaking, I'm used to quoting these like in a King James or New King James. So I read some of these newer translations. I butcher them like crazy when I try to quote them. I get them all jumbled up. Do you know what? That doesn't matter. You know that doesn't matter. It's still God's Word. And God still upholds His Word, whether you quote it exactly right or not. Healthy and fresh. Man, I like healthy and fresh. Sure beats stale and moldy. It does. All right. Stale and moldy. That's not good. I know enough. I know that's not good. You ever pulled something out of the refrigerator and went, whoa, that's stale and moldy. You're not going to put that on your plate, are you? Okay. They make it known that the Lord is decent or that He's good, that He's fair, that He's righteous. He is my rock. He is never unfair. I'm going to have to move on here. But that's Psalm 92, 12 through 15. Next passage of scripture, Psalm 103, 1 through 5. Man, where did the time go? I got to go quicker, all right? Psalm 103, 1 through 5. I have this. In fact, I've actually put, this is on every day. I have this Sunday through Saturday, the whole week, whatever. All 7 days, all right? I have this one, it's on all 7 days, Psalm 103 is. In fact, some days I've got it in 3 or 4 different translations that I'll read through, and then I'll go back over it and I'll mull back over that, which you'll see why in just a minute. Psalm 103, 1 through 5. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. How many of you know there's benefits to serving God? If you don't know that, there's benefits to serving God. It pays to serve God. It literally pays to serve God. And I'm not talking about just money. I'm talking it pays. There's benefits to serving God, which you're going to see a couple of them here. Who forgives all your iniquity, which means sins. Who forgives all your sins. Who heals all your diseases. Who redeems your life from the pit. Who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy. Who satisfies you with good so your youth is renewed like the eagles. That's the English Standard Version. Psalm 103, 1 through 5, this is God's Word translation. Praise the Lord, my soul. Praise His holy name. And again, I even have a hard time reading it because I'm just so used to saying, praise the Lord, O my soul. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and all those within me. But they don't phrase it this way, all right? They just phrase it a little bit different. Praise the Lord, my soul. Praise His holy name, all that is within me. Praise the Lord, my soul, and never forget all the good He has done. Don't forget all the good that He has done. Meditating that is, I can go back over that and say, I'm not going to forget all the good that's, thank you, God, for all the good that you've done. All the good that you've done. Father, you're so good. Thank you for all the good that you've done in my life. And I could even throw in other parts in here. What are some of the good things that this particular passage of Scripture talks about? Who forgives all your sins? How many of you know it's good God's forgiven your sins? Yes. You're not going to hell. Yes. That's a good thing. Isn't it? I'm not going to hell. God has forgiven me of my sins. You could stop right there. And you could spend the rest of the day, praise God, Father, thank you for all the good things you do for me, that you forgive me of my sins. Thank you that you've forgiven me of my sins. But that verse doesn't stop there. It says, you also who heals, he is the one who heals all your diseases, the one who rescues you, your life from the pit, who heals all your diseases, rescues your life from the pit. Praise God for healing. I'll tell you what, it's a whole lot better to be well and whole, healthy and fresh than to be sick. Amen. And we serve a God who desires you to walk in health and wholeness. I know things come against us. I know sometimes people get sick. I know sometimes we get sick, but there's a healer. Amen. And he's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. He changes not. And so when those things come, you know what I can do? I can meditate on that word. I can praise God. He's the one that heals all my sickness, all my disease. I'm not going to forget. I will not forget the good things. In fact, New Living Translation says, which again, there's some days I have three or four translations. And I'll just read them one after another. And then I'll just mull over parts of them. But I'm not going to forget all the good things he's done for me. I'm not going to forget who heals all my diseases, who's forgiven me my sins, who's redeemed my life from the pit. Do you know the word pit? It can mean destruction and calamity and things like this, but it also means traps. Who redeems my life from traps? How many of you know there's traps in life? Praise God. God has redeemed us and delivered us from falling into traps. How many of you know you can be walking? You ever been walking and trip? Stub your toe? Whew, remember as a kid stubbing your toe? And it still happens as adults as well. You know, have you ever done that? Man, it's painful. All right? You don't want to trip up and stub your toe. How many of you know the older you get, the more stubbing your toe hurts? And how many of you know if you stub your toe in life, there can be quite a few consequences to stubbing your toe in life, can there not? You can get yourself in situations and fall into traps, pits, that sometimes are very difficult to get out of. But we have a Redeemer. Praise God, I will not forget the good things he has done for me, who has forgiven me of my sins, who heals all my diseases, all my sicknesses, who has redeemed my life from the pit. Even if I fall in, even if stupid comes out of me and I fall into a pit, he's still going to deliver me. Amen? He still delivers me and sets my foot upon a rock. And then it goes on there. It says, he's the one who crowns you with mercy and compassion, the one who fills your life with blessings so that you become young again like an eagle. You know what? Some of those scriptures about becoming young again like an eagle, they're a whole lot more important to me today than they were when I was 25. Just like the healthy and fresh. They mean a little bit more. Amen? I encourage you. So meditating the Word of God is just simply taking passages of Scripture like that, and or sections, even just simply sections of them. I'll give you one more just for time. I couldn't pass this one. I just wanted to throw this in there. Probably should have stopped at those two. Proverbs 3, 7, and 8, don't be impressed with your own wisdom. Instead, fear the Lord and turn away from evil. Then you will have healing for your body and strength for your bones. Don't be impressed with your own wisdom. God's Word translation says this. It says, don't think of yourself as wise, or don't be wise in your own eyes. Don't be wise in your own eyes. Turn away from evil. Humble yourself. Turn away from evil. Instead, fear the Lord. Turn away from evil. And then you'll have healing for your body and strength for your bones. So if I'm going to go over that scripture, which I do, again, I just cut and paste those there, but if I go over that scripture, I'll just simply say, Father, I'm not going to lean to my own understanding. I'm not going to be in my own wise. I'm not wise at all. All I have is human understanding. So I'm going to fear the Lord. What does it mean to fear the Lord? And so I may meditate about fearing the Lord. You know what fear of the Lord means? It doesn't mean to be afraid of God. It means to honor and to reverence him, to yield my life to him. I choose to put his will, his plan, his purpose. I'm literally going to yield and submit myself to him. That's what the fear of the Lord means. It means to yield to him, to reverence him. And so I may meditate about reverencing the Lord. Father, thank you. And there's countless promises. You'd be surprised of all the promises from the Word of God that are tied to the fear of the Lord. that if you'll honor and reverence God, all the different things. In fact, in this passage of scripture, it talks about healing for your body as a part of that. Praise God again for healing. It's amazing also in some of these scriptures, the connection that's attached to these things about health and wholeness and strength for your body. And I want to encourage you, it's very easy to meditate the Word of God. Okay, and real quickly, what I want to do is I want to go through, why should I do this? Why is this something I should incorporate into my life in 2015? Why should I do this? And I want to go through these real quick, all right? And what I would encourage you to do, and I gave you a couple of scriptures that can get you started, but if you're, again, like a lot of people may be, sometimes we struggle because we're unsure, okay, well, how do I start? And I gave you a couple of scriptures where you could start right there. In fact, if you just meditated on Psalm 92 or on Psalm 103 for the next few weeks, it would change your life. The revelation that the Spirit of God can bring to you about that. Okay, I'm going to bless the Lord, oh my soul. Father, today I'm going to thank you so much. I'm not going to forget all the good things you've done for me. And throughout the whole day, all you do is take the time. And it can be as you're driving, it can be all kinds of stuff. Father, bless the Lord, oh my soul, all that is in me. I bless his holy name. I bless the Lord, oh my soul. All that is within me, I bless his holy name. Father, I bless your holy name. Again, you can do a combo. I bless the Lord, oh my soul. All that's within me, I bless his holy name. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight today. Oh Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. All that is within me, I will bless his holy name. I'll not forget the good things you've done for me. Let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Bless the Lord, O my soul. You ever been driving the car? Bless the Lord, O my soul. Right? It's a whole lot better than maybe some other gestures or words you might want to say. It's very easy to do. Anybody can do that. Anybody can do that. But the amazing things that it brings into your life. Again, you go back to Joshua chapter 1. You go back to Psalms chapter 1. The context of those scriptures. You meditating the Word of God. What is the promise? What's some of the promises attached to that? You will be prosperous and have success. I want to be prosperous. I want to break out. I want to go forward, push forward in my life. I want 2015 to be the best year you've ever had in your life. And you can see that come about in your life, not because I said so, because God said so, because his word says so, that as I meditate upon his word, it brings about results in my life. It changes me. You can't avail yourself to the word of God and not change. It's impossible because there's power inherent with that word. So I want to give you just a couple of things. Why should I incorporate this? Number one, you'll begin to live more out of your heart rather than out of your flesh. You're going to begin to live, if you'll meditate in the Word of God consistently, and you won't do it perfectly, okay? You know what? It's pretty rare that I miss a day, but you won't do it perfectly, though. All right? Nobody does it perfectly. It's not all about works. It's about a relationship with Him. But if you'll do it consistently, you'll consistently begin to live more out of your heart rather than out of the flesh. How many of you know your flesh can dominate you if you allow it to? But I meditate on the Word of God and I mull over the Word of God. Let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. You feel stress at work. You feel like, man, I'd love to give that person a medicine. And you're mulling something over, but it ain't good. I can switch that, can't I? Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Psalm 19:4. And I'm not memorizing it, even though you're going to memorize it, you're going to remember it. But I'm mulling it over in my heart. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Sure don't feel like it, but let the words of my mouth, let the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. You can do that all day long. And you can mull those things over and you can do it, and you'll be amazed. You know what will happen? You'll find yourself maybe in times of stress, under pressure or whatever, and you know what will come bubbling up inside of you rather than fleshly things? You know what will start popping up? You'll have a little inside and you'll hear those words, the words of your mouth, the meditation of your heart. And you'll find that you'll be able to get a grasp on those things. You'll be able to get a check on those things. and it'll start bubbling up inside of you. Do you know that'll happen? You'll begin to live out of your heart. Bible tells us in Proverbs 4, it says, guard your heart, for everything you do flows out of it. Guard your heart, for everything you do flows out of it. And the meditating on the word helps me do that. I got to move on here. Next thing, number two, being a doer of the word becomes easier. So meditating on the word of God, being a doer of the word of God becomes easier. You strive, and I put that in quotations because so many of us, it's like work, man. I'm just trying so hard. I'm trying so hard. By meditating the word of God, it'll get to the place where it begins to flow out of me rather than striving. So beginning to live out of my heart, being a doer of the word becomes much more fluid in my life because the word takes root in your heart and produces fruit in you automatically all by itself. Mark chapter 4, don't have time to go through it or even to read it. I didn't even put it in the slides, but you can go through Mark chapter 4. That's the section where Jesus talks about the sower sows the word of God, etc. But if you read past that section, it gives you another illustration about a farmer sowing seed and stuff. It says he plants that seed. He says he doesn't even know how it works. This is Jesus talking. Says he doesn't even know how it works, but the crop still comes up. Now that's a serious paraphrase, but that's basically what he says. He doesn't even know or understand how it works, but it still produces fruit. Did you know you don't even have to know how it works? You don't have to understand all about it, but it still produces fruit in your life. See, religion and false Bible understanding, again, sometimes false understanding, things we think about God or we think about the Bible. And again, sometimes church doesn't help at all because it set things in our mind that we make it so hard. You don't even have to understand it all. The word produces fruit because it's the word of God. I don't even have to comprehend it all. Don't even have to understand how it all works. Again, that's in Mark 4. As you just keep reading on stuff. It says the word produces fruit. Isaiah says the word produces fruit. Just like the sun, the snow that's on the ground, waters the ground, waters the earth. The earth produces fruit. It's just a continual cycle. The word of God's exactly the same. That's in Isaiah. The word produces fruit. It's going to produce fruit in your life. You meditate on the word of God, you'll begin to live less out of the flesh and more out of your heart. Being a doer of the word will become much more natural to you. Why? Because the word produces fruit. The next thing, you'll develop a sensitivity to the Holy Spirit and to the voice of the Spirit. Doug Jones talked about this past weekend. I encourage you again, if you weren't there, he talked about being led by the Spirit of God this past weekend. Make sure you listen to that. But a sensitivity to the Spirit. You cannot meditate. You can't mull over the word of God and not develop a sensitivity in your heart for the things that, for the Spirit of God. So many Christians will come and say, you know, man, I never hear that and stuff. You know what you're basically saying? If you were to say that to me, you're saying you don't have a relationship with God. You're not meditating the Word of God. Because you can't meditate on the Word of God and not begin to hear God's voice. Because they're the same. They're the same. You'll begin to have a sensitivity. And what you do is you'll learn to listen to that heart. You'll begin to follow that heart. And as you do, man, it's amazing the doors that'll open. You'll be walking past somebody and you'll feel just a prompting. Man, you need to say something to them. And you can go up to them and say, you know what? I was just walking past you. Are you doing okay? You don't have to get all ooey and spiritual. I was walking past you and the Lord said, come and speak to you. And they're going to go, oh my gosh. You can just simply go up to them and say, you know what? I just saw you sitting here and I just felt like I needed that. Are you doing okay? And you never know by following your heart what door may open as a result of that. Amen? And you'll develop a sensitivity to that. Got to go on here. Last one. Wisdom, discretion, insight, preservation are all promised to those who hide the word in their heart. How many of you would like to have wisdom, discretion, insight, preservation, all those things guarding and keeping you each and every day of your life? Remember there in Psalms 103, it talked about how he redeems us, keeps us from the pit, redeems us from the pit, from traps that we may fall into. Meditating the word of God will bring that wisdom, discretion, insight into your life, where you'll begin to see things differently. You'll begin to navigate things. God can bring that to you. I know sometimes we need to ask other people, we need to get other people's opinions about things, but I tell you, the greatest counselor, the greatest confidant, the greatest person to give you insight is God Himself. And He can give you ideas no one else can give you. He can give you insight that nobody can give you. He can help you see things that no one can help you see. You know why? Because everybody else is just a man. They're just a person. They're a human being. God's God. That's a pretty big deal. He's God. I don't know about you, but I sure like having God on my side. God giving me insight. God giving me wisdom. Me approaching things, don't know how to navigate things with my children or things taking place in my life, on the job, wherever I may be, having God being a resource to me, having God being able to give me ideas how to navigate this. Boy, I'm really struggling with this. I don't know how to navigate this with this person. Man, every time I'm around this person, I just want to smack them. You ever felt that way? Somebody on the job is out to get you. They're harassing you. They're making your life miserable. God, I need some help here. How can I navigate this with this person? How can I do this? Man, by mulling over the Word of God, you will be amazed at the insight God can give you. I mean, you can be standing in the shower, taking a shower, which hopefully, or a bath, hopefully you do that regularly. And it's amazing the thing that God can just, boom, drop things in your heart. And you go, man, I know what to do. God just gave that to you. That just rolled up out of your heart. And God gave that to you, and those that they can open doors for you that no one else can open to you. And that's one of the benefits of meditating the Word of God. So, for focus for 2015, it's very easy, okay? It's just simply one thing. I encourage you, begin to meditate the Word of God. Take the time to focus upon the Word of God and meditate the principles of the Word of God. Again, I gave you a few scriptures you can start with. If you need help with others, there's countless resources. Again, there's brochures in the bookstore. They're free. There's plenty of them that are free that have all kinds of different scripture things that you can use that can be good starting points for you that can help you. Because I know sometimes we struggle knowing exactly where to start. Pick just one of those and begin to mull those things over, and you can see your life change. You can see things be different as you go through 2015. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your Word. We do thank you for the precious promises in your Word, oh God. Lord, you are so good, and your Word is so good. Father, I pray for each one of us that throughout this year, 2015, we will become a people, Lord God, that will mull over, meditate, focus upon your Word. May we be a people that hide the Word in our heart, that mull your principles over, that, Father God, we'll receive insight, wisdom, discretion, we'll be preserved, we'll be kept. Father, thank you so much for insight for every person in this room, oh God, as throughout this year, they develop that relationship with your Word, meditating on your precious promises. Thank you so much in Jesus' name. Just keep your head bowed, your eyes closed just for a moment. If you're here, and I'm not going to drag this out. If you're here tonight, and I know it's a Wednesday night, all likelihood everybody here knows exactly where they stand in their relationship with God. But if you're here tonight and you don't know, maybe other people brought you, maybe you came on your own. You know, it's the beginning of the year. Maybe you decided to come to church like, man, I need to get to church. And you're unsure about your relationship with God. You don't know. You're sitting here right now and you don't know where you stand in your relationship with God. Or you know for a fact, man, I know I am far from God. I know I have never asked Jesus to forgive me of my sins. I've never done that. I've never opened up my heart to Him. I've never done that. If you would say yes to those things, it's a very simple process. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to have you stand. I'm not going to sing you out. I'm not going to have you come forward at all. All I'll do here in just a moment is ask you to raise your hand, and we'll pray for you right where you're seated. In fact, the whole church will pray that prayer out loud together with you right where you're seated. So if you're here tonight and you say, Pastor Steve, that's me. I don't know where I stand in my relationship with God, or I know for a fact, I know I've never asked Jesus to come into my heart. That's you, and you want me to pray for you. Again, I'll pray for you right where you're seated. Just very quickly, raise your hand right where you're seated, and I'll pray for it. Thank you so much. You can put your hand back down. Who wants to join these others that raise their hand? Very quickly, I'm not going to drag it out. Anybody else wants to join these that raise their hand? Going to look one more time. If you're here, say, Pastor Steve, please include me in that prayer. Anybody else? All right, let's pray this prayer out loud together with those that raise their hand. Say, Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you that He came to this earth, that He was crucified for me. He was buried for me. He was raised from the dead for me. Lord Jesus, I open up the door of my heart and the door of my life. I invite you in. Thank you for cleansing me and forgiving me of all my sin. I receive you now as my Savior and as my Lord. Amen. Amen. Let's give them a round of applause. Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to this teaching. from Victory Family Church. We pray you were blessed by God's Word. For additional teachings, resources, and podcasts, as well as information on who we are and our upcoming events, please visit our website, lifeatvictory.com.